Morning Christ Church. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We want to invite you, if you're able, to stand and worship with us.
Joy to the world on a night like no other. Emmanuel, God is with us. Beggars and kings, let us come and adore Him. Rest in His peace and bow. Christmas Day. Stars we have seen over deserts and oceans. Darkness was deep and never hopeless. Redemption came and His name.
To save us, prison.
rejoice, He is with us. Rejoice, hope is here. Rejoice, He is with us. Rejoice, hope is here. Rejoice, He is with us. Rejoice, hope is here. Rejoice, He is with us. Rejoice, hope is here. This is Jesus, King of glory. He'll rescue from the fall. Son of God who comes to save us. Prince of peace and Lord of all.
For the heart so prone to wander, for these feet so quick to flee, God is here and love is reaching for the lost and least of these.
My goodness, amen. Welcome, everyone. Hey, say hi to some people around you, and our kids are dismissed. Wow, it is so good to be here with you all in person, online. What a gift. Merry Christmas. Oh my goodness, so many good things. Well, I'm Sierra. I'm a volunteer. I've got a couple of things to keep on your radar. So, as it is obviously week of Christmas, very exciting, we are doing our Eve of Eve Christmas service on Tuesday. So this is going to be 6:30 candlelight service. It's going to be beautiful. Pro tip, definitely come early because it will fill up and be pretty packed. So we'll see you on Tuesday, 6:30, and it's going to be a full family service. So we're not going to have separate kids ministry. We're going to do it all together and really celebrate Christmas. So that is coming up. And then next Sunday is actually our last Sunday of the calendar year. So that's exciting. And also, we're going to be doing a combined service. So next Sunday, it's 11 o'clock only, and we will see you there. So Tuesday and Sunday coming up. And now I'll just welcome Pastor Javon.
Thank you. You guys go ahead and bow your heads and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you and I thank you. I honor you today to the Lord. Fill us with your Spirit, so we can be people filled with faith. Fill us with your peace so we can be people filled with hope. Lord, today's message is a message not just meant to encourage us, but to move us to trust you, to walk with you. No matter where we are in our lives, no matter what's going on, Lord, we can always look to you. And so today, at this moment, we look to you. We look to you because there's nowhere else to look. You alone are worthy. You alone are glorious, splendorous, and full of majesty. So, Lord, bless your people today, wherever they are in their lives, Lord. Whether they've been far from you or they're seeking you, Lord, fill them with your Spirit. Bless us, I pray. In your Son's perfect, wonderful, holy, and righteous name is who we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Good morning, Christ Church. Merry Christmas. How we feeling? Woo! Christmas is here, right around the corner, as Sierra has wonderfully said. We got a lot going on. We obviously have the Eve of Eve. She said, show up early, get here on time, because guess what? It will be packed. It will be a lot of people, and it will be fun as well. It's going to be our candlelight service. So again, make sure that you guys are here. Then again, of course, we have our one service next week. So make sure you guys are here. Can't wait to hang out with you. Let's end the year strong together, worshiping God. Got a lot coming up for you guys. But today, we are going to be continuing in our series that we started a few weeks ago. We're in week 3 of our series, The Songs of Christmas. One of the reasons why your boy loves Christmas, because I love Christmas songs, guys. Anybody? Yes, the Frank Sinatras, the good old the Jackson 5. Santa Claus is coming down. Just Santa here, by the way, y'all. But, you know, the good old tunes. That's why I love Christmas. And what we've been doing in this series, and little do we realize, Christmas, it brings us into a song. Right? Christmas reminds us of the song that God has been singing, that God has been inviting us into. And we're going to be walking through this. Remember, we've been focusing on the Gospel of Luke. We've been looking at this family. We've been looking at these individuals, Zechariah, Mary, and even Elizabeth, on the birth of Christ. I love this series because there's a lot going on in our lives today. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of distractions. And it's easy to miss the point of this season. Because of everything that is going on, because of your needs that continuously pile up, and you are a needy person, right? Right? It's easy to miss the point of this season. It's easy to miss what we are here and what we are meant to do with this. So this is what this series is meant to do. I'm excited to jump into it. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 1. So go ahead and open up your Bibles there, Luke chapter 1. But before I jump in there, again, songs. When I think about songs, the reason why I love songs and the reason why you and I, we love songs and we enjoy them, because songs tell a story, don't they? Right? Don't we love songs that tell a story? For instance, let's talk about The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Right? No, this is a story all about how my life gets me turned upside down and I'm like a thing a minute, just sit right there. I tell you. Okay, y'all don't watch TV now. Okay, that's all right. Right? I love that song because it talks about a kid from Philly, right? Who went out to Bel Air, right? Talked about his life. What is he doing? It's him inviting you into the story. Some of you couldn't get down with that. Let's try another one. How about the song Don't Stop Believing, right? Just a small-time girl living in a lonely world. And you know what she did? She took the midnight train going anywhere. But then it wasn't just a girl. There was a city boy born and raised where? Y'all a bunch of sinners. Look at y'all. You wasn't singing here, but you can sing that. No, I'm joking. Right? We love songs because songs reminds us of a story, and we love stories. And what we're going to see today is that Christmas is a time God is inviting us into his song, that God is inviting us into his story. God is inviting us into his story. And what is the story of God? It is the story of his faithfulness. The story that God remembers. Anybody have Facebook? And every time you go on Facebook, it tells you what you did 10 years ago or like last year around this time, right? I have a love-hate relationship with that. Because sometimes when Facebook would tell me like, you know, 10 years ago, you posted this. I'm like, I can't believe that. I need to delete that so I don't get fired from the church. Like, you know, let's put that down, okay? We can't do that. But then sometimes, you know, when it posts some memories, there's some moments of joy, you know, moments where I used to post about the kids and them being born and what they were doing and me and my wife and all these, you know, the places that I went to, right? When I think about my life, and you probably think about your life, when you think about your life when it comes to what you remember, right? It brings a lot of joy for some of you. When you think about your past, you think about some funny things, things you can sit back and laugh at. But for a lot of us, when you think about memory, there are some things that are not so funny. There's some things that we remember that doesn't bring much joy. As a matter of fact, there's some things that we remember that actually make us very, very sad. Right? Reflection can be a blessing, but also sometimes can feel like a curse. But today, what we're going to realize, and today, what we're going to read, when we remember our past, and how God has been involved in it, we find hope. When we reflect upon what our lives, where we have been to where we are now, we will find full proof of God's hand in every single way. And what do? We respond in hope. Because we see God has been involved. And this is our premise today. This is kind of what we're going to be diving into. If you're taking down notes, write this down. When you remember God's past faithfulness, you will experience his present promise. When you remember God's past faithfulness, how God has worked in your life. Spoiler alert, friends, you are here not because you are so experienced, not because you are so educated. You are a living, breathing being right here, right now, in this room, at this time, in this place, because there has been a hand of faithfulness at work in your life from the beginning all the way till now. There has been a faithful author writing your story. Guess what, friends? Your story is not your story, it's God's story. It's God's story, right? And for us, what we want to do is, as we look at this passage, what is this passage going to do? It's going to cause you and I to move forward. And we move forward by looking backwards. Now, I want us to pause. I want us to pause for a second. It's 2025. We're at the end of this year. Some of you are going to take the time, and we need to remember, we're going to enter 2026 because someone has been present with us the whole time in 2025. It is remembering and reflecting upon God's work in our lives. Anybody have a bad memory? Anybody lose their keys 5 times a day? Don't look at your spouse. Don't do that, okay? Don't you do that, all right? All right, that's not nice. Talk to me after service, all right? Right, anybody losing their wallet every, 2 seconds, anybody, right? I'm a forgetful person. When I go out to the parking lot, when I leave the mall, I'm always doing this. I don't know where I put that thing, right? I'm walking around looking like a maniac, right? Right, I'm a person that I just forget. I forget a lot, right? All right, and here's the one thing we're going to see in this story is that God never forgets. God always remembers. We're going to read in this wonderful, beautiful story, God never forgets. Sometimes a lot of us, we get to a point in our lives where we feel like God has overlooked you. God has forgotten about you. But we're going to read in this beautiful story that is actually very opposite. So here's what we've been doing. We've been walking through Luke chapter 1. In Luke, we are introduced to a few characters when it comes to the main topic, which is Jesus. God arriving on the scene. God becoming man. God wrapping himself in flesh. But in this story, we're introduced to these characters. These characters are in God's story. They are not the story themselves, and that is Zechariah, who we're going to talk about today, Elizabeth, who we're going to talk about today. These are this couple, and then, of course, we have Mary. Remember week one, we did Mary. Mary, did you know that you're me? Keep going. All right. I like singing, Logan. Gosh, it's a series on singing. So, but anyway, right, we've been looking at these figures and how they are involved in the life and the story God has been writing all along. So let's go ahead and read in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 57. It says this. It says, when the time had come for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a son. Here's what's amazing about this. Elizabeth, at one point, wasn't able to have children. We're going to look at that in a little bit. Wasn't able to have children, but now she's about to have a son, and this son is John the Baptist, the one who is going to prepare the way for Jesus. Verse 58, her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day, when they came and circumcised the child, they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother replied, no, he shall be called John. In ancient Jerusalem, it was very common for boys, for boys who were born to be named after their father, right? But there seems to be some tension here. Elizabeth says, no, he shall be called John. And then verse 61, it says, they said to her, there is no one among you, your relatives, who bears the name. So they made signs to his father to find out what he wanted the child to be. Zechariah asked for a tablet and wrote, his name is John. And they were all amazed. Verse 64, immediately Zechariah's mouth was open and his tongue was released or was loosened. And he began to speak, praising God. And all the neighbors were filled with awe. And the people throughout the hill country of Judea were talking about these events. And all who heard this wondered in their hearts and asked, what then will this child become? For the Lord's hand was with him. Beautiful, beautiful story. If you were with us last week, Logan opened up with this couple about their situation. The angel of the Lord appeared to Mary, but before he actually appeared to Mary, he appeared to this guy by the name of Zechariah. He appeared to Zechariah, and Zechariah was a priest, and which means he was someone who worked in the temple services at this time. And the angel appeared to him and said, behold, your wife, she's going to have a son. She's going to get pregnant. But Zechariah is a little perplexed because he's like, how is that going to happen? We're old, right? This makes no sense, right? Not only that, right, she's unable to have children, right? She's unable to bear a child, right? And now in this time, this would have brought a lot of shame. Logan talked about this last week, did a great job. Can you give it up for Logan's sermon last week? Did a great job. If you're a female unable to have children in this Jewish culture, it would have brought much shame in your life. Heck, a lot of women today feel that shame, who are unable to have children, who are barren. The difficulty that would have brought. Many people, they would have made speculations like, oh, she couldn't get pregnant because of what she did, right? God's cursing her. Or some form of that matter, whatever it may be. Like, they were coming up with all these weird speculations. But I love this story. The Bible says in verse 57, the time came for Elizabeth to give birth to her son. Elizabeth's story moves from barrenness to birth as a living testimony of God's work in her life. Because here's the thing, friends. What was born that day wasn't just a son, but a story. What was birthed that day was more than just a child, but God's mercy and grace birthing this story in her life. Right? God worked in the impossible. God worked in the unlikely. And here's how Christmas encourages us. It teaches us to trust God continuously because nothing is too difficult for him. God is not hindered by anything that hinders us. I love this. God can bring blessing where we least expect it. God can bring blessings in the areas where we least expect it. There was one time when I was rushing to get my kids out of the house, and I didn't coordinate the times well. I didn't have them dressed in time, and I'm rushing to getting them in the car, and I'm throwing them in the car, and I got one kid strapped, and then I get in the car and I turn it on, and my other son's like, Dad, I don't have a seatbelt on. I'm like, We're just gonna whim it, son. We don't care. We're just going. We don't have time. We gotta go. Right, don't worry, I'll put the seatbelt on eventually by the time I got to the freeway. But anyway, we were just going. We were riding, and I said, okay, we're running late, but if I take this way, if I take this direction, maybe it can get me to my destination a little bit quicker so I can be on time because I got to hit the gym, and then I got to go to work, and then I got this meeting, right? But I got to do all these things. I got to drop off the kids. So I take this direction. I'll take this certain route that I think is going to get me there faster, but I eventually hit a dead end. Right? I hit a dead end, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, all I see is grass. Maybe I should drive the grass. And then, no, don't do that, because you can get arrested, and then the kids go to, you know, nope, I don't want to do all that. Right? Right? I hit a dead end. And sometimes, you know, in life, you know, you and I, it feels like we hit dead ends. We're trying our best to get to where we need to be and where we want to be, but we find ourselves lost in unlikely places, hitting many dead ends. But here's the beautiful thing about what this story reminds you and I. There are no dead ends when it comes to God, only new beginnings and new blessings that he presents. See, here's the thing, friends. God worked in her barrenness, which means that God brings fulfillment out of emptiness. Some of us feel barren in our own way. We are barren of hope. We are barren of strength. We are barren of I need answers. But here's what this beautiful reminder for us today. If God can move in Elizabeth's barrenness, he can move in the places that feel impossible and like a dead end today. You know what feels like a dead end? Our uncontrollable anxiety. Feels like a dead end again, doesn't it? Here I go again, struggling with anxiety. I've tried and tried and tried. I've taken medicine. I've gone to see doctors. I've done all the things. But it feels like I'm getting nowhere. Or maybe for some of us, the impossible feels like the conflict of marriage, the conflict and the tension in your family. For some of us, the impossible is addiction that feels unbreakable, because nobody wakes up and says, I wanna be an addict, but it somehow pops up in our lives, doesn't it? Grief feels too heavy. Forgiveness feels impossible. But here's what I love about the story that God birthed in Elizabeth, and the story that he wants to birth in each and every one of us today. And here's the reality. Here's the truth. Here's what we need. Here's the antidote to our barrenness. Christmas reminds us to never lose hope. Because what's impossible for you is not impossible for God. What's hard for you is not hard for our God. What's tough for you? Easy to our God. Christmas teaches us to never lose hope. Friends, you need hope today, friends. I get it. And let this story be a reminder. Hope has a name. And it's Jesus Christ. And that's what this story reminds us. I love this passage. I love that God's at work. So here we are. John the Baptist comes on the scene. He's born. There's tension. Right, they're arguing. They're arguing when the baby is there. Seeing y'all be happy that the child is there. This woman couldn't have children. Now y'all arguing about the name. Talk about petty. Right? Talk about petty stuff. Y'all arguing about the name. But here they are. They're arguing about it, and eventually they decide to name the baby John. And then this awesome moment happens. So you got to remember, see, Zechariah, when he had the moment with the angel, he had a moment of disbelief. He had a moment of maybe even doubt, some scholars would say. I would actually say doubt may be a little bit of a stretch, but, you know, be it as it may. And then at that moment, God, you know, he couldn't talk, right? Right? He was unable to speak. But as soon as he saw God's hand at work, his mouth was loosened, the Bible says. And he began to proclaim, and he began to speak. And this is where we find this song. It found in verse 67. It says this: then his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied. A little foreshadow of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Then his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He raised up a horn of salvation, or another way saying conquered or brought victory. He raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spoke through his holy prophets, those of ages past, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us deliverance from hostile hands, that we may serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. This is beautiful. This song, right? After months and months of not being able to speak, these are the first words out of his mouth. After months and months of not being able to talk, his first words is, it's not complaint, but it's praise, right? It's not, man, why did this happen? Or why did God do this? It's, God, you're in this. And it's evident. And this is a beautiful, beautiful song. As a matter of fact, this song looks a lot like the Psalms, right? If you ever read the Psalms always open up proclaiming God, who he is, but also it moves into what he does, right? As a matter of fact, if you take the time, it actually looks like Psalm 105, which you can read on your own. But Zachary, he begins to speak and prophesy, and it's rooted in history. This isn't just a history, a lesson, though. What is the intent of speaking of all these words and all this language? The intent is to emphasize God has been involved from the beginning. That's the intent, friends. His intent is not to help you to feel intellectually smart, but to point you to the one who was always involved. The one, because what he does is, and just kind of give you a little lesson, this is probably 14 generations from Abraham all the way to Jesus Christ. That's a long, long time. That's a long, long time. But here's what's amazing. God was on every single moment. He was in every single moment. God was on every single page. When the page kept turning, new people came, God was there too. God was involved. That's this promise. Purpose of this particular song. Throughout Israel history, God would make what we call covenants. Right? I'm not going to sit here and bore you, but just know that covenants is the way to really actually read the Bible. Right? Right? God is a promise maker. But we also see this, that God is a promise keeper. See, we see this in the people that is brought up in this particular song. It says in verse 68, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. How did Israel become who they became? Well, it came through a person by the name of Moses, right? The people that he visited and redeemed his people, and he raised up a horn of salvation for his servant David. That talks about King David. Verse 70, he brings up the holy prophets. That's Jeremiah. That's Isaiah. That's Ezekiel and Daniel, right? And then he keeps going more and more. He says that to show our fathers, verse 72, to show mercy to our fathers and remember his holy covenant. Who would have been the fathers? The fathers would have been the patriarchs. That's Abraham, that's Isaac, and that's Jacob, right? He talks about Abraham, verse 73, right? What is the purpose of this? The purpose, friends, is to remind us God was up to something all along. And in this moment, at this time, when the babies are coming on the scene, this is just not another baby being born into the world. No, this is God's purpose being displayed. Because God has been working and orchestrating his perfect plan all throughout history. Christmas is proof that God is faithful to keep his word. And if this is what we need to learn about God in these particular passages. Number one, God is reliable. Why can you trust God? Because he's reliable. You ever had somebody that said they were going to show up and they didn't? They didn't follow through. Not too long ago, I was moving to my the home that we're in right now, and I called all my friends. And you know, for some reason, every time I'm moving, everybody's got something to do that day. You know, I called my best friend, you know, and I said, hey, man, what you got going? I said, oh, man, I broke my leg. Like, man, we just played basketball yesterday. What do you mean you broke your leg? Oh, yeah, you know, I had a bad night, okay? Right, I called all these people. Only one person showed up. His name was Keith. He's back there right there. Keith showed up and was like, am I the only one? I ain't got no friends. Keith, pray for me, Pastor. Right? And some of the people, they said they were going to be there, and they weren't there. And I think the one thing that hurts the human heart the most is disappointment. When others disappoint you, when others give you their word and say, I'm not going to do this to you, and they do it. And one of the reasons why a lot of people have a hard time trusting God is because they have found that people are untrustworthy. The world has proven to them time and time again, people are untrustworthy. But God doesn't operate like you and I. When God says it, God does it. If God said, I will bring my glory, it's not a if, it's when. When God says, I will be with you, it's not, oh, maybe, it's a no for certainty. I'll be with you. Christmas reminds us that God is reliable. We trust in a God who always follows through. Who always follows through. Number two, we trust in a God who is unchanging, right? A God who is unchanging, right? Right, with all the things in our life is very shifty, right? Meaning this, there's a lot of changes that happen, right? There's a lot of changes that happen in our lives. There's a lot of changes that happen within our family structure. There's a lot of things that change. You know what changes probably the most for me? My attitude. One day I'm singing, thank you, Jesus. The next day I'm on the phone with a therapist, okay? Right? Because things are constantly changing, our hearts are always reaching out for something to steady us. Our hearts are reaching out for something to hold us and to support us. Because people change and we change and seasons change. Right? Sometimes for the good, sometimes for the worse. But here's what the human heart longs for. The human heart longs for perfection. You aren't perfect. People around you are for sure not perfect. So what does that lead us to? The one who is unchanging, who cannot change. The God that promised to Abraham long, long, long ago. The God who worked in Elizabeth and Zachariah's barrenness. Is that God present with you today? That's the hope right there, friends. God doesn't change. He remains the same. And number three, God is unfailing. God is unfailing. I think when I think about this year, as we get towards the end, I think about this year in a matter of this. Most of my stress in my life comes from my plans not working out the way I wanted them to. Can we all agree? Right? It's not that life is just hard. It's just the things that I expect aren't happening. For instance, some of you didn't plan to be burying somebody that you love. For a lot of us, you didn't plan to be addicted. You didn't plan to struggle. You didn't plan for your marriage to feel like it's hanging on by a string. You didn't plan for any of these things, right? And life is to remind us time and time again, right? Right? Our plans are going to fail us, right? We have many plans. We make many plans. Heck, some of our plans are for the good, right? We have financial plans, relational plans, spiritual plans. We have all types of plans, right? But here's the beautiful reminder for us today. The beautiful reminder is this. Many plans are in the mind of a man, but the purpose of God remains forever. Your plans will fail. 2026 is coming, your plans are going to fail, some of them. But guess whose plan will not? God's. Guess whose plans will not? God's, right? Plans can never be frustrated, his purposes can never be derailed. Now, here's what's even amazing about this particular passage. You want to know what's amazing about this? Now, notice, Zechariah brings up all these greats. Abraham. Oh, Abraham was awesome. The father of faith. Listen, if you were an ancient Jew, you loved Abraham, right? David, King David. King David is known for what? Slaying down a big old giant, right? Even the prophets were loved. They loved all these men, all these guys. And you want to know one thing they all had in common? They all failed God. They all failed God. They all dropped the ball. They all stunk. They all turned they had moments where they turned their backs on God. They had moments of deceit. They had moments of infidelity. They had moments where they've lied. They have all these moments. And I love that this reminds us that God's faithfulness is not determined by how well you do in life. God's faithfulness is because he is faithful. Even when you are faithless, God remains faithful. Because here's the thing, friends, you and I have dropped the ball. I've had some David moments. I've had some Abraham moments. I've had some Israel. You want to know Israel's biggest problem? They like to worship other gods. They turn to other things to give them hope. They turn to other things to give them joy. They turn to other things to bring them peace. They turn to other things to bring them deliverance. They turn to other things. And can I just tell you right now, that is the constant rhythm of my own life, that I'm always constantly turning to other things rather than the main thing, and that's God. But God's faithfulness is not due to because of how well you do in life. It's because he is faithful. Because he is faithful, friends. See, here's the thing I want you to know. What Zechariah teaches us this. We need to take the time and we need to think well and good on how God has been in our past. Because when we think about God's faithfulness then, it helps you to walk in faith in your present now. When you think about where the Lord and how the Lord has been at work, this was Israel's main thing. Whenever they worship God always out of reflection. They would always think about what the Lord has done because it gave them faith to trust in who he is today. To trust in who he is today. See, when we rehearse what God has done in our hearts, we gain confidence. Because here's the thing, friends, the confidence that I need in this season of life, the confidence that I need, it will not be in my successes. It will not be found in how well I preach on Sunday. It will not be found on how well I look. It will not be found on how strong I am. It will not be found in how many people say they love me. It will not be found in how many, the only way confidence can be returned and remained is when I look to the Lord and what he has done in my life. This is the heartbeat of Christmas, that you and I would return to confidence, and we do that by reflecting upon the Lord. A couple things to do, what happens when we reflect upon God. Reflection restores our peace. Reflection restores our peace. If I were to ask you, how are you doing? Most of you would hopefully be honest and tell me you've lost your peace. Thank you, Gigi. You don't have a sense of peace. And a lot of us, the reason why we've lost peace is because in our hearts we are rehearsing what is happening to us. And what you rehearse in your heart determines how you respond in your life. See, a lot of us, we rehearse our failures, we rehearse our disappointments, we rehearse what other people did. Oh, I love dwelling on how much people hurt me. I don't know why. I love dwelling on other people's baggage. I don't know, maybe makes me feel good about my own brokenness. But I've noticed when that becomes the rhythm of my heart, it affects the way that I live. When I'm always reflecting, well, they weren't there for me. They let me down. They stink. It, for somehow, some way, it pours out in my life. But when you reflect upon God's faithfulness, something else pours out. Something else leaks. Right? Right? And that's what this idea of reflection is meant to do. It's meant to strengthen us to trust in who God is now by looking at what he's done before. Number two, reflection shapes your perspective. Life is all about perspective. Life is all about how you are seeing it, right? And the way we interpret life determines a few things, right? It determines whether we are empowering fear or disarming fear. Because I can tell you right now, the reason why fear is constant, because your perspective is blurred. Perspective is blurred. And here's what looking upon the faithfulness of God does for you and I today. Remembering God's perspective, it moves us from fear-driven to faith-driven. Number three, reflection reminds us God is purposeful and always at work. It helps you to realize your story is not random, but it's woven by a faithful, loving, kind, merciful God. Here's the ultimate truth. Reflection anchors you to trust God again. It anchors you to trust God again. Right? Because guess what, friends? The troubles of 2025 will not end in 2026. That's very depressing, Pastor. I know. Join the club. I'll give you my therapist's number, okay? Right? But here's how we endure that reality. By reminding ourselves of what God has done, will do, and who he will always be in our lives. That's how we do it. And then he talks to us, Zechariah talks to us in verse 73. He says this, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant to us deliverance from hostile hands that we may serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Here's the purpose of Christ coming. See, now, if you keep reading later on in this section, it talks about John the Baptist, but the story is not about John the Baptist. The story is about Jesus, and all John the Baptist was a vessel to lead to the coming of Jesus. He was just someone that was just going to speak about Jesus' coming. But Zechariah shows us the purpose of Christ, and the purpose of Christ was to bring redemption. Was to bring redemption. If you look throughout this whole entire section, he uses language like redemption and salvation and deliverance, all of that. Everything Christ came to offer us. But we need to understand what redemption is at its core. Some of us, we understand it part of it, but we don't understand it completely and the value of it. It's not just about forgiveness. Jesus just didn't come to help you escape judgment and give you a clean slate. That you are going to heaven someday. No, redemption restores relationship and redefines our purpose. For instance, there was a story that I read about it, an author. He was one time in this very dangerous orphanage in Europe. And as a child, he remembered the day he was taken out of the orphanage. He describes it like this. I want to read it word for word. As a child, I was rescued from a dangerous orphanage. But my adoption went much further than just being rescued from the orphanage. No, my adoption, the purpose of it was being rescued into a family. It wasn't It wasn't something I was brought out of, but it was something I was being brought into. He was given, he talks about this in his adoption, he was given a new name, a new identity, a new home, a new future, a new father. He was loved and chosen and brought close. And that's the gift that God wants to give us today. And it's the gift that he's pulling you not just out of something, but into something better. And the gift of Christmas, the invitation of Christmas, is God bringing to us new life, new purpose, new identity, new home, a new future. And that all is going to be accomplished through one person and one person only, and that's through Jesus Christ, your Redeemer. Your Redeemer, friends. Christmas is not just, hey, Jesus came so he can die for you. No, Jesus came so that you can live for him. That's the purpose of Christmas. It's not just, oh, he came and he died so God doesn't hate me, he doesn't dislike me, and then when I die, he looks at me and he says, oh, you believe in Jesus, right? Yeah, you believe in Jesus. All right, go ahead, go in. No, he came and he died so that you can live for him forever. That's the purpose of this redemption story that God has been shaping throughout history. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you and I thank you. I pray that today we would be people who would remember. We would remember that you are the God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, the God of Israel, that you are the God who spoke to David, who worked in David's life. You are the God who spoke through the prophets and worked through the prophets' life, the God who worked and brought blessing in a season of barrenness in Elizabeth's life. That same God is our God today. Our trust is in the one who is consistent, the one who makes his promises, but also keeps his promises as well. So Lord, deliver us into the hope that you want us to have. Bring us into this wonderful, wonderful reminder that you are a God who cannot forget us. That you are a God who was committed. That you are a God who was loyal. That you are a God who was faithful. That you are a God who shows up every single moment. And Lord, where we are not seeing you, help us to see you clearly. Where we haven't seen you at work in our past, Lord, give us eyes to see that work. And let us say, thank you, Jesus. Where we cannot see you today, Lord, give us eyes to see and say, thank you, Jesus. And where we see you at work, either from our past or even our present, help us to be people of hope, to know if you have been in our past and you have been in our present, then you for sure have our future. Bless us today. Move us to faith. In your Son's wonderful and perfect name is who we pray. Amen.
Could have stepped into creation, fire for all to see, brought every tribe and nation to their knees, arriving with the host of heaven, the royal robe and crown, the rulers of the earth all bowing down. But you chose meekness over power and humanity. Glory be to you alone, King who reigns from a manger throne. My life, my praise, everything I own to Jesus, the King. Amen. could have marched in all your glory into the heart of Rome, showed them splendor like they'd never known. But you wrote a better story in humble Bethlehem, Creator in the arms of a common man. You would die for
church. Hey, we have a bunch of fun things set up for you guys right after service. We got cookies, literally hundreds of cookies for you guys to decorate and to appreciate and eat. And then we also have pizza. You know, church and pizza go hand in hand. So, but we got pizza for you guys after. If we could have some people help out moving some of the chairs so we can set up for inside of here. If you are ready to leave and go, we love you. God bless you. Merry Christmas. We'll see you guys Tuesday. Take care. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. What?